Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. This is episode 1907. That's the seventh podcast of 2019. And we are off to a great start, especially now that we're in February. A lot of great things are happening. I've got Liberty State rallies happening, Second Amendment rallies happening, and we've got fights going on. We have fights going on, getting down in the legal trenches, going to roll our sleeves up. We're going to have a special guest coming up here in segment two and three. Got him standing by to come on and share some strategies with especially those of you in Washington State facing this out-of-control leftist, globalist, statist, communist, in my humble opinion, attorney general, and not to mention most of the legislature, they're out of control. It is time for Liberty State to happen. But in the meantime, we're going to still be swinging. And I want to help do that as much as I can. I feel sorry for you folks that are living in that occupied territory. My goodness. All right. I've got a lot of stuff to cover. I got to go fast. So first of all, remember to put Saturday, March 30th on your calendar. Speaking of going into occupied territory, we're going to do it. We're going to be parachuted in by the British SAS. We're going to be dropped into Bremerton. Saturday, March 30th, we're going to put on an expo to help you get prepared. Those of you that are in occupied territory, I will be speaking on communications. We'll have a booth there. And then 2 weeks later, of course, we'll be in Central Washington in Prosser at the Northwest Preparedness Expo. So put both of those on your calendar. We're looking forward to that. Let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by the author and lawyer, 299 Days book series with all 10 books out, including the audio books. And don't forget to check out Glenn Tate's and Shelby Gallagher's Prepping 2.0 podcast. By the way, I'm going to be on that very soon. We just did an interview not too long ago, and they're going to be posting that. But anyway, you can learn more about the books at 299days.com. Okay, an alert came out. This was from Alerts USA. Protests are being planned across the U.S. for President's Day, which, of course, you know, is tomorrow, in response to the president's national emergency declaration over border security. So the communists, the globalists, the globalists, really, they want no borders. They are going to be protesting our president, who is standing for our country. There's caution urged, though. Of course, my advice always, stay away from crowds, especially the urban crowds where the zombies are going to be, probably throwing Molotov cocktails. More than 250 events have been planned in cities across the U.S. for tomorrow, President's Day, 18 February, by the liberal advocacy group MoveOn.org and others. Those are nothing short of communist revolutionaries in the streets of America. You thought you're going to prepare for the communists coming and invading our country by watching Red Dawn. Well, they didn't come in from the sky. They came in under the radar. And they're in our institutions. And now they're in our streets. So tensions on the left are high. And some of these protests have significant potential for violence and the destruction of property. So caution and vigilance are urged. And Alerts USA subscribers are encouraged to check the links below for protests. This is what I just got from a couple of listeners. So I've got three links here, and it's the leftist websites for where they can go and sign up and participate at a rally. So this is good intelligence for the patriots to know what areas to avoid. But crisisresponse.us, rallylist.com, and rallylist.com, national emergency. Okay, so there's basically two lists. Donald Trump has declared a hashtag fake national emergency, an illegal power grab from an unhinged man to push his racist, dangerous policies. Wow. We are mobilizing rapid response events on President's Day, Monday 2/18, against Trump's fake crisis. It's a fake crisis. He's fabricating it. And racist deportation force and to stand with immigrant Muslim and black and brown communities to stop Trump's dangerous and illegal power grab. It's only dangerous if he doesn't do it. It's not a power grab. He already has the power inherent by the Constitution. Matter of fact, it's not only just he's not authorized to do it. It's his duty to defend our borders. Illegal power grab. It's not illegal. It's perfectly lawful. The power that has been invested in him has been invested by us who elected him through the Republican process. Events will be at noon local time, so wherever it is, or a time selected by hosts. Join President's Day protests to fight Trump's fake crisis and racist deportation force. Use the search tools to find an event near you and RSVP. Whoa, lovely. So we got that to look for. But here's something. I'm just all over the internet. I just picked this up off of RT, which is Russia Today, RT.com. It's basically a pro-Russian propaganda news platform, but they cover stuff that, internal communist news networks won't cover. Pelosi emergency gun violence. Okay, so she says a Democrat can do it too. Pelosi warns national emergency can be used for gun control in the future. So she said that by invoking a national emergency to build a border wall, Donald Trump would be setting a precedent, which is funny because they're saying this is unprecedented what he's doing, building a wall. Well, it's only unprecedented because the other presidents have failed to do what they were supposed to do by securing our borders. And they just let it roll right on in, all the way back to Reagan. He's not off the hook. He's the first one that led the first amnesty program. He's the one that set a precedent. The precedent that has been set has been one that compromises our national security, our national integrity, our border, our language, and our culture, as Michael Savage says often. So, but I want you to pay attention to this headline. You guys just, she gave us a glimpse. It was a slip of the tongue. They just told us what their future strategy is, what they are going to do. This is not a hollow threat. This is not something to be ignored. The next president, we've been given a very short window of time. I'm telling you, patriots, President Trump will not be there forever. He's going to be there for either just under 2 years or just under 6 years. But at some point, he's going to be out of there, and they are planning to pull that pendulum, the political pendulum, the social pendulum, hard back to the left. And it's going to be just like you see glimpses of this, like in the Washington State Legislature and several others, Oregon, where they have full control. They can do whatever they want. Their agenda, their leftist, communist, anti-American agenda is unstoppable, and they know it. And they're so bold and they're so arrogant because they know nothing can stop them. You wait until there is a president, the next president, I predict, will be a Democrat, and it will be like the previous president, that will not be named, but only on steroids. And they are going to be using things like this national firearms emergency, black flag operations, false flag operations to create the crisis. They truly will create the crisis, unlike the real crisis that they're claiming President Trump is creating. This will be a created crisis of gun violence. And they're going to declare a national emergency. You're going to have to turn in your firearms, of course, well, by edict anyway. So get all you can while you can. The prices and availability of magazines, of battle rifles, and ammunition has never been better. Never been lower, never been more affordable, never been more abundant. Get them now and start training. Start training right now, like yesterday. Got a legislative update from Idaho. This is really encouraging, actually. In contrast with the People's Democratic Republic of leftist Washington, this is from Representative Christy Zito. She talked about the State of the Union and basically said how refreshing it was that President Trump was talking about nationalism and made her feel like a patriot. But she also gave a legislative update. So there are some bills that are actually in committee. This one, I think, is way overdue. HB 123, Daylight Savings Time Exemption. She says we have a hearing scheduled. Well, this was Friday, so I haven't gotten an update since. But Daylight Savings Exemption legislation, some changes were made to accommodate the desires of our northern Idaho citizens. I would love to see the whole I would like to see the whole state of Idaho on one time zone instead of split right across the middle and completely do away with daylight savings. It's ridiculous. Or keep it at daylight savings. Standard time is ridiculous. Anyway, get it on one time and keep it there. I like this. They're waiting for Chairman Harris to make a decision on a hearing for expanded constitutional carry. Listen up, patriots. Listen up, Idaho citizens, heart of the American redoubt. This is what it's all about. The current draft will lower the age. Listen up, Attorney General Bob Ferguson, you commie. The current draft will lower the age to 18 to allow constitutional carry for all legal residents, that's adults, in the United States, all citizens of the United States, and all active members of the United States military. Currently, those 18 and over can carry open or concealed anywhere in the state except within the city limits. Of course, this is less than 1% of the geographic area of the state, but they're talking about expanding. Did you know that? The legislature passed legislation a couple years ago in Idaho recognizing that the Idaho Constitution guarantees the right for an adult 18 or over to carry concealed without a concealed weapons license. 18, 19-year-olds. Unlike over in Washington State where they want to, because you know all these mass shootings are going to just go away as soon as they make it illegal for an 18 to 20-year-old to not have an assault rifle. Ridiculous. Abortion human rights bill. This is beautiful. I talked about this a couple times over the last couple of weeks. Idaho Code 18-4001 defines murder as the unlawful killing of a human being, including but not limited to a human embryo or a fetus. Hence, a drunk driver takes out a pregnant woman. He goes down for two manslaughter charges. Or if you shoot or stab, you murder a pregnant woman, you go down for murder for two people with malice aforethought. There's a contradiction in the law of Idaho where further in Idaho code, abortion is allowed. They made an exemption for abortion. It is illegal. And they even recognize that abortion is murder. However, they made an exception so that you cannot be prosecuted for it. Is that bizarre or what? So, this came through by Representative Scott and Representative John Green, both of which are pushing for this bill to expand human rights, the right to life, even to the unborn, because it's already illegal to kill an infant there. And they're trying – no exemptions. You don't get to have an exemption. You cannot murder a child unless it's yours. Then you can. That's just not tenable. So this is really cool. Then they have child protection waivers. House Bill 101 legislation would require Department of Health and Welfare employees that investigate child neglect, abuse, or abandonment to provide parents or guardians with a notification of their constitutional rights upon first contact. So kind of like a Miranda warning, if you will. I hate calling it a warning. Miranda statement basically making you aware of your constitutional rights. So this is pretty cool. Industrial hemp conformity. They're looking at producing industrial hemp in Idaho. It's right now it's illegal. So they're trying to make industrial hemp legal. And we'll see where that goes. So anyway, good updates there. There's some really good information over at Redoubt News. There's an awesome article. I'm looking forward to going back. It looks like it's going to be a series covering the Western Lands issue. And this was written by Ron Nielsen. I know the name. He's involved in a lot of stuff. But he addresses the argument about, you know, whether federal government can own land and the states, the land was turned over to the states or was it? Well, he goes all the way back to the Treaty of Paris, talks about the Northwest Ordinance for the transfer of land when they became territory. So he's taking it all the way back to there and then bringing it forward. And this is going to be very informative. So go to redoubtnews.com, look for that. And also, all the videos now are available from the Lavoie Finicum analysis, the deep analysis of the death of Patriot Lavoie Finicum. So all of those videos now are available. They're linked from redoubtnews.com. Oh, geez. I've got, let's see, rhinopack.org. We can't do news and commentary without one presentation from the Stark Raving Mad page at rhinopack.org. This is great. Headline, most corrupt cities, Democrat. In yet another study telling us what we already know, four of the most corrupt cities in the United States are run by Democrats. The fifth, Miami, Florida, is officially nonpartisan. The study covered criminal corruption convictions of city officials during the years of 1976 through 2017. Chicago, why are we not surprised, led the list with 1,731, followed by Central District, California, with 1,534. Manhattan had 1,327. Miami, 1,165. And Washington, D.C., 1,159. Those are just the ones that got caught. So it's no wonder the Democrat Party pushes for restoration of voting rights for convicts. While most Democrats are probably not criminals, most criminals are, in fact, Democrats. A sizable portion of their constituency is either behind bars or former felons. How the party of felons, the party of anti-Semites, the party of war, the party of perversion, drugs, death, and destruction can attract so many seemingly normal people defies logic. Rather than the party of freedom, the Democrat Party has become the party of free stuff, free health care, free food stamps, free housing, free previous president who will not be named, phones. The allure of something for nothing is perhaps the real dark side, a force powerful enough to overwhelm both logic and morals. Well, I would add that this is probably the undermining psyche of these people that really leads them to do nothing more than legalize theft. That's what it is. So no wonder they're corrupt. They're legalizing theft through all of their policies anyway. So they just think that everything should be free through theft. And, well, not everything has been legalized for theft yet. And so they get a little ahead of themselves and they get caught and they go to prison. So, but they're working on it. They're trying to make everything for them is free at your expense. Forced, what do you want to call it? Institutionalized theft. So, anyway, you can go to rhinopack.org to look more. Don't forget to check out the poll, if you haven't already taken it, you get to vote. There's 9 rifles to choose from over at libertystate.org to choose which should be the official state rifle. I submit that it should be a battle rifle, but there are others to choose from. There's the old Model 94 lever-action Winchester rifle that won the West. That's on the list. A couple others, but most of these are battle rifles, so go and make your voice heard. Check that out. And that's about all we got time for. Let's go ahead and take a break and come back with a special guest, a former JAG officer, Scott Brumback from Central Washington, talking about a strategy to go on the offensive against the unlawful acts and bringing charges. The probable cause is there. It exists. He makes a strong case for it, and you can get on board, especially if you live in Washington State, or only if you live in Washington State at this time. So stay tuned. Segment two, all that's coming up. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Residents of Liberty State. Representative Matt Shea knocked it out of the park with his speech of freedom and liberty at the 51-2A rally at the Capitol Building in Olympia on Friday the 15th. We had some other great speakers from the Second Amendment group, such as Scott Brumback, Stephen McLaughlin, and Alan Acosta, who all did an excellent job. It was a great event. Unfortunately, we had some very formidable weather that closed Snoqualmie Pass for 3 days straight and stopped most of the Liberty State residents from coming to this event, as thousands had made hotel reservations to stay overnight. However, we could all make up for it at the next rally on March 29th at the Capitol when the weather is better, and we will. The event was still a success and was important to have happen in the Capitol building as it gained more press than all the other Liberty State events we've held so far. We had a fantastic lineup of speakers, and we want to thank everyone who showed up regardless of weather, including many people from Yakima, Stevens, Ferry, and Ponderay County. I would like to give special recognition to some of the people who really braved the weather from the farthest parts of the state, Floyd and Angie Chrisman and the whole Chrisman family and their whole Liberty State volunteer group from Ponderay County who drove the farthest and through very formidable weather, white out with only 4 foot visibility and snow shooting completely horizontal across large distances of their journey. I want to thank Steve Edwards and his group from Yakima, Dan Wallace and his group from Stevens County, Radonna Devereaux and her group of Second Amendment supporters, and Howard Briggs and his wife and group from Kittitas County. Please forgive me as I am not able to name everyone, as there are so many new faces, but I wanted to also thank Alan Acosta and his group for being there and doing such a great job organizing the event. So now we move forward with continuing to hold our county meetings and bringing more people together to volunteer and start pulling our elected officials into this effort with the rest of us. God bless this effort to restore the power of our united vote in Eastern Washington. You can join in on this awesome effort today by volunteering or by donating to the Liberty State effort and make a difference that will actually count. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us today at libertystate.org.
A world where not all podcasts are equal.
We're back with segment two. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you to get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, if that's where you are looking. And of course, a lot of you are, because Idaho is so bloody free, they're setting the standard for everyone else, but they're not without attack. So if you move, you make the move, you don't get to check out. You get to roll up your sleeves and get in the fight, because what you're fleeing is coming. So get ready to stand ready to fight against it. But you need to get settled in. You need stability. You need a roof over your head. So get a hold of SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, now, as I mentioned, we have a guest coming up here that I'm really looking forward to introducing you to. What we've got going on right now in Washington State, and this is happening across the country, but right now this is really taking national headlines. And that is a large group and a growing group of sheriffs and county commissioners that are pushing back against the state and unlawful edicts that they're pushing on the people. They're looking to disarm and taking steps to diminish the people's ability and the right to defend themselves. So that's where we are right now. And this is what I want to – I love how – actually, let me just introduce our guest first. We are here with Scott Brumback. He is a former JAG officer. For those of you who don't know, that's the military legal branch in the military. There's a legal branch, and that's called JAG, Judge Advocate General. And he is now in the civilian world. He is a deputy. He was the deputy prosecutor for Yakima County. That's in Liberty State, Central Washington. And also, he has been the assistant prosecutor for Yakima City, and he currently is practicing law. And there is a case being built, and there are action items that are being put together to help you in your county, wherever you are, especially if you're in Washington State, that you can help arm your sheriffs with the ability to fight back on legal grounds. And so I'm really excited to talk about this. Scott Brumback, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So now I got to meet you actually, I think I've seen you a couple times at a couple of events, but we really got to meet, shake hands just this last week in Olympia, right after the Second Amendment rally. And that's when I became aware of this, an offensive that I am very excited about. I think it's going to give a lot of people hope, especially our elected officials. Just this last week, we had the Attorney General of Washington State essentially send out a letter threatening the sheriffs who have vowed to stand for the Constitution and refuse to enforce, or at least enforce, certain parts of this I-1639. And it appears that he has violated the law in several different cases. So there's a very strong case for going up against the state. And so I guess that's where we are right now. If you could give just a little bit of background about what has brought us to this point.
Well, you know, Washington State over the past couple of decades has become really the mecca of far left activism. You know, California, we all know about what happened to California, a place where a guy like Ronald Reagan could be governor. After that, Oregon's kind of gone hard left. And now the last piece being Washington State, they've gone hardcore left. And really the left-wing activists in Washington State have been really focused on a number of things, higher taxes, property regulations, and so forth. But kind of their crown jewel is to disarm Washingtonians. And, you know, if you asked a leftist in Washington State, a progressive Democrat, whatever you want to call them, they would say that's not true, that they fully support the Second Amendment, et cetera. That's deception, but, you know, we're kind of accustomed to that from that side. And what's been going on for a long time, it goes back quite a ways. There was a former Seattle mayor, his name was Ed Murray, and he is disgraced, removed from office because of his behavior with like a sexual predator sort of thing. But he used to be a state senator, and he proposed legislation, about 15, 10 or so years ago. And basically what that was is to ban assault weapons and make you lock them up if you already had them, because you're grandfathered in, and would require the sheriffs to come into your home and do annual home inspections, believe it or not. Huh. Radical, right?
Yeah.
And that bill was quickly pulled because at the time it was not palatable for politically. Bob Ferguson comes on the scene, and he's been our attorney general, elected position in the state of Washington. And since about 2015, he's been on a crusade to ban assault weapons, what are deemed large capacity magazines. And he started that in the 2016-17 time frame, mm-hmm. and that failed in the legislature. So he got kind of angry about that and was pretty clear. If you look at some of his interviews, he was very disappointed, he said, with the legislature. Well, you know, interesting enough, you know, Ferguson is the attorney general. He's in the executive branch. How could he be disappointed with what the state legislature, another branch of government, is doing? His job is to enforce the laws, not to dictate what the laws are.
Right.
So 2018 comes around, and he is locked and loaded with a citizens' initiative. In Washington State, we have the initiative process where you can get enough signatures and put an initiative on the ballot, mm-hmm. using democracy, so to speak, to pass law. And he basically championed this initiative. And 1639 is what it is. I-1639 means Initiative 1639.
Right.
And that was put on the ballot, and Ferguson ran that thing for an entire year. And basically what it did, a number of things. It banned, it reclassified weapons, even a weapon like the Ruger 10/22, as we all know, you know, a little semi-automatic youth rifle.
Yes.
And is now deemed to be a semi-automatic assault weapon.
Correct.
He reclassified it.
Yes.
And 18 to 20-year-olds are prohibited from buying one of those. There's what he called safe storage, so you got to lock your guns up. So if the criminal's breaking into your home, you have to say, "Excuse me, Mr. Criminal, may I take a moment and go get my weapon so I can defend my home?" You have to lock them up or put a trigger lock on it. If you don't, and the criminal comes in your house and steals the gun and then goes and hurts somebody, you can be charged with a felony.
Right.
So the criminal could grab the gun, not be found, never be brought to justice, go and use the gun in the crime. Let's say it's left at the scene and we find out that that gun was used in a crime. The innocent, law-abiding homeowner, gun owner, would be charged with a felony.
Correct.
There's other things that are in that law. One would be there's full-on state registration of all firearms, particularly those terrible semi-automatic assault rifles.
Yes.
And pistols, monitored and continually by the state. And then there's another section that goes along with that. Once that registration happens, then the Department of License and the Washington State Patrol are then tasked with kind of being like an antivirus software, scanning the registrations that have been submitted. And if anybody pops up on the radar, the state will basically task law enforcement, whether it's municipalities or sheriffs, to go to the home of citizens and check this out. This is law now, okay?
Yeah.
Excuse me, go ahead.
I was stunned by this because what I was not aware of is that what is in here in this under the gun owner's surveillance and gun confiscation portion of – and let me just first preface it with this. I have in my hands right now a copy, a physical printed out copy of a 46-page plus memorandum that you have drafted based on your research, the documentation. This is extremely well researched. I have more of those little sticky note things sticking out of here. It looks like a porcupine. The amount of research that you have done is incredible, and I have just been glued to this document this afternoon, and I still didn't have a chance to go over it. But here's something right here. Within 12 months of the effective date of the, you know, the passage of this, the Department of Licensing shall, in conjunction with the Washington State Patrol and other state political law enforcement agencies, essentially what they have to do, they have to take steps to ensure that such a person is not illegally in possession of firearms. So afterward, this is
right.
But they're saying they have to verify after you go through the jump through all their hoops to register with them and have your background check. Now the state must verify on an annual or more frequent basis that the person who acquired the pistols or semi-automatic assault rifles remain eligible. So there's going to, and of course, to be eligible at all depends on whichever way the wind is blowing. If we want to look
right.
at the future of this country and where we're headed and the things they want to base on, the standards that they're proposing for using whether or not somebody should have a firearm, that at some point in the future, you know, did you ever now have an outburst in a grocery line? You could be mentally unstable. You know, who knows where this could go? So they get to determine, because at first it seems somewhat reasonable. You want to make sure the person is eligible, but they also cannot. They keep changing these arbitrary lines about what's eligible. Just like you mentioned, that now they've changed it to we'll talk about. This hasn't gone into effect yet, but we'll talk about this. It's coming up very soon. An 18 to 20 year old cannot legally purchase a firearm now for their self defense. This is troubling. So they come up with arbitrary numbers. Something magical happens, you know, when you go from 20 to 21. Now it's all of a sudden safe for you to own this. When are they going to change that to 25? Never. So anyway, these are the things that I've noticed in this documentation, in this memorandum that you put forward. I want to talk about, I love the opening line right here, the very first paragraph. Besides the oath, the very opening paragraph in your memorandum is a quote. "The law is a powerful thing," Ferguson said. This is the Attorney General. It has the ability to hold everybody accountable to it, and that includes the President of the United States. Now, that's on pulled from page 28 in this memorandum that you've written. So let's talk about that. He's right. The law applies to everyone, even the president and even the attorney generals, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay. So that's what brings us to this point. There is a potential lawsuit. One could even argue probable cause that he is in violation of the law, possibly even at a criminal level. Is that what this memorandum is saying?
Well, he is. I mean, you know, my background as a prosecutor, that's what I used to evaluate. Look at facts and you look at the law. You look at the law, you know, each criminal statute has elements. And so you have to satisfy each element of the crime. And then, of course, as law enforcement, a prosecutor, my job is not to decide whether somebody is guilty or not. I have to decide whether or not the facts support a finding that it is probable that a jury or a judge could find, based on those facts and the law, that a person committed a crime. And that's probable cause, essentially, in layman's terms. It's been defined by the court, but that's essentially what it is.
Right.
And looking at the facts and the law of what Ferguson did, and there are a lot of facts. I mean, we haven't gone into it yet, but what he's done is he's in the executive branch. He is not a person that is to draft legislation and to run a citizen's initiative.
Right.
His job is, if there's anything, it's with his oath, and this is the very fundamental aspect of his job, is if there is any possible attack on the Constitution, his job is to defend it.
Yes.
What he has done is got out and used his craft of being an attorney, and he has created legislation, used propaganda and enticements and fear and emotion to whip up the emotions of the Washington voting public, and he got them to vote for this unconstitutional legislation and turn it into law that undermined the Washington U.S. Constitutions as Attorney General. If you really think about that, he's gone way, way overboard and gone. He's basically consolidated two branches of government into one, the executive and the legislative.
Well, yeah,
then,
because he's
So this reeks of something that is wrong, and most people know that it's wrong, but they are like, they can't put their finger precisely on it. And that's what my memo is designed to do, to enlighten, hopefully inform law enforcement and a judge, hopefully down the line, to say, yes, he did step over the line. We find probable cause, and let's have him charged with a crime.
Right, because he lobbied, act as a lobbyist for an initiative. And they boasted, if I understand this correctly, they were boasting about their role in formulating this piece of legislation that they pushed through to help even draft it. And so he's playing the role of a legislator instead of being the check and balance on the legislature as the Attorney General to uphold to make sure that laws are constitutional. So he's pushing an unconstitutional law. Not only did he look at this and say, you know, this is a check and balance against unconstitutional law, he chose to champion something that was unconstitutional. Acting as a legislator in a legislative role, is that correct?
Yeah, and you think about the backdrop of this, right? I mean, he's writing and helping to craft this legislation. For instance, let's pick the easy one. 18 to 20-year-olds may not buy a semi-automatic rifle now.
Right.
They may not. Completely banned from doing that under his law that he drafted. Now, let's just flip to the other side of the constitutional provision that he is sworn to uphold and defend. Realizing that he wrote this initiative, the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired. So he wrote a law knowing that the Constitution said that, the Washington Constitution. The Washington Constitution is actually stronger for the right to bear arms than the Second Amendment, because it specifically says the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself.
Right.
Shall not be impaired. So what is impaired? Impaired is to reduce by any appreciable degree, right?
Right.
And so if you say 18 to 20-year-olds may not purchase these types of rifles, is that an impairment? That's an open violation of the Constitution that he's sworn to defend. This man has absolutely subverted the Constitution.
Yes.
And that is a breach of the law. So what law? So there's a statute out there, 9A.80.010. It's called official misconduct. It's under the chapter known as called the abuse of office. Sounds right on, doesn't it? I mean, when you put it in those terms, he abused his office by writing legislation that undermined the Washington Constitution. And so it basically says that any public servant, and that's the correct terminology for what he is. He's a public servant.
Yes.
Who intends to deprive another person of a right or privilege while intentionally committing an unauthorized act under the color of law. Color of law would be his role as Attorney General.
Yes.
Or by intentionally refraining from performing a duty with which he is charged, is guilty of a gross misdemeanor. I have just described the statute as a criminal statute for abuse of office and official misconduct. Just a little bit you know so far, a person with the facts that we presented so far would say, sounds like he did that. And he did.
Yes.
He broke the law. He should be convicted, in my opinion, but of course that's always up to a jury to decide. But if he is convicted, then he would be guilty of a misdemeanor, a gross misdemeanor, which would mean that he should be impeached and removed from office. And that's what I believe that the path is that needs to be taken.
Absolutely. Boy, there's so much to this. Now, let me ask you this. Is it a crime to violate your oath, the oath that you take in Washington?
There are a couple other statutes out there. But yes, essentially there is, because it depends on what you do with that. I mean, you can violate your oath unintentionally, out of ignorance or whatever, or you can do it in such a way that it's harmless error. But Eve, as you may have seen in my memo, the oath creates a duty. And so he under, I think the second prong is my analysis, is that he refrained from performing a duty with which he's charged. He is charged with defending the Constitution, not creating law to undermine the Constitution, and that is actually one of the satisfactions of the satisfies one of the elements of that crime. So yes, in this case, his violation of his oath, a duty, is an element of the crime that is satisfied, and is one of the alternative ways to have him convicted of this crime.
Excellent, Excellent. Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking at my notes also, and I have a copy of the Washington State Constitution right here, and of course you reference the Constitution as well.
Yes.
And this is the most beautiful thing about what I've read, you know, all of the constitutions in the, especially at least the preambles of Western states' constitutions. But Washington State starts off basically stating, not basically, it states that the government is established to protect and maintain individual rights. And, so going after these things that are very clearly outlined in the right to bear arms portion of the Constitution, he's violated it across the board. This is the same prosecutor, the same attorney general who, 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, threatened to seize the assets of and bring charges, criminal charges against an elderly woman running a flower shop for refusing to violate her moral conscience. That's the moral level of this individual. That's the kind of person we're talking about here. So I don't think the law really.
That's exactly right. I mean, this guy, I don't consider myself a real smart person. This guy is a really smart guy. He's smarter than me. He's a grandmaster chess champion or whatever that is. This is not a problem with his brain. This is a problem with who he is as a person, ethically, morally. He is willing. I don't even think he even feels it anymore when he violates his oath.
Right.
That's where he is as a person. And so, you know, these people are public servants. They are supposed to maintain our individual rights. That is their and protect them.
Yeah.
That's their duty. And when you attack the individual rights, and he's attacking not only the right to bear arms that we have, but other things like you referenced with regard to this gal in the flower shop. This guy, he has no self-restraint anymore. He's unbound by morals and ethics and law, and he's acting as a mini little, kind of a little tyrant, really, running amok, combining the powers of different branches of government to basically fulfill his aspirations, personal aspirations, by using our office. And that's just a horrible thing, and it has to be stopped.
Yeah, when he sent the letter out to the sheriffs, he referenced the rule of law, respecting the rule of law, which I thought was very interesting because he basically justified standing on I-1639 by supporting the will of the people, which is the rule of the mob, not the rule of the law,
right?
Because the rule of the law is in conflict to the will of the mob in this case, and his role is very clear. It's to stand for the rule of law. But the will is of, you know, the mob, whatever they decide is now the law that he's trying to enforce, which is in conflict with the higher law. So it's amazing to me that in the Constitution basically is very clear, and the oath reinforces that he took, that you are obligated to uphold the individual rights. But at the same time, he's working to undermine those rights and upset the – he's basically enforcing something that hasn't even been even a law yet. He's working – I don't know how to say this. He's supposed to uphold the individual rights, but he's working to change the law so it will no longer be a right for you. He's like preemptively going ahead of the rights and trying to cut them out ahead of you. I don't know how to articulate what's going on in my head right now on this, but it is.
No, I know what you mean.
Mind blowing.
And there's a reason for it, because, you know, listen, I've gone through a lot of years of school, and the undergraduate 2 degrees, and then I went through law school. All right, this is a leftist indoctrination process.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that you go through. And so this guy, our side, you know, people who believe in liberty and the rule of law, and actually when you read the law, it says what it means, and then you do what it says, especially if it's a constitution. That side doesn't do that.
Right.
Right. So we always try to figure out how come they're doing what they're doing. You know, our side, you know, is trying to play fair. They don't play fair. This is, you know, the Bolsheviks, right, when they overthrew the Tsar, didn't play fair. They don't care about fair.
No.
You know, Castro didn't care about fair.
Right.
You know, Hitler and Stalin didn't care about fair. These are totalitarians who have an ideology where they want a small group of people at the very top to exercise power and tell the rest of us how to live. And when you look at it from that perspective, it's kind of like the similar concept of taqiyya, right, in Islamic law. They will say and do absolutely anything to get their way and to fulfill the goals of their ideological campaigns. And so when you look, and you probably do, and I, you know, just talking with you, I know that you get that, but I think it's important to express it, that these folks will do anything and say anything to make sure that they fulfill their destiny. And that's why they use the word democracy. We live in a democracy. Once you're cued into that and you hear them saying this, then you understand why. Because I-1639 was democracy in action to, yep, undermine the Constitution. It was two wolves and a lamb deciding what's for dinner.
Right.
Right? Mob rule. And so, you know, I don't get so twisted up anymore about why can't they, you know, why are they doing this? What are they doing? They're doing it because they want to win.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't care about the rule of law.
Well, you know, these guys are in the same camp as the college professors and the Antifa, you know, the street level communist revolutionaries who use the mantra, and they live by this, by all means necessary. Whatever,
yep,
it
absolutely
takes. And so these guys are sold out to this. They wear suits and they go to an office and they're you know, state officials, but they are all playing from the same playbook and they all believe in the same code, and that is by all means necessary. And we need to be ready to roll up our sleeves because it's going to get dirty. But we're going to talk about, when we come back from the break,
okay,
if you could hold over, I want to talk about exactly what folks in Eastern Washington, all across Washington, because we do have some sheriffs in Western Washington that are standing their ground too, but what citizens can do, because there are some real actionable items that are being put together, a strategy that is going to stuff these people. It's going to throw several major sticks in their spokes. And so we'll talk about that. And you are doing some things and giving some presentations. There's going to be more of this going on across the state, so we want to give the people the tools that they need to get in this fight in a way that they can win. Maybe not win the war yet, but at least win some battles. So we are with Scott Brunback, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is the Voice of the American Rebel.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
We're back with segment three here at Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the free zones, broadcasting outside the wire, hopefully as a voice of encouragement and hope to those of you in occupied territory, and hopefully a call to action for those of you that are in the free zones to get engaged and get prepared and be involved in the battle for our freedom, our liberty, our heritage. This segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help you stay safe and to help you thrive on your property to get the most out of it for water and food production and defensibility, securing your water rights. And also they offer these services outside of the American Redoubt as well, wherever you are. They travel, so check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right. Now, if you are just joining us late, here in segment three, we are with currently an attorney but formerly a JAG officer in the military, former deputy prosecutor in Yakima County, and assistant prosecutor for Yakima City. And if you're outside of the area, you've got folks living, you know, outside the wire across the Fruited Plains. That is a county and a city in eastern Washington. And there is a battle brewing right now. Scott Brumback is on the front edge of the legal part of or one of the legal components in that battle against Washington State and their efforts to disarm law-abiding citizens as part of a wider front, just essentially attacking anything that has anything to do with our American heritage and our values and longstanding traditions and our constitutions at the state and federal level. So there's a fight. The sheriffs, multiple sheriffs now in at least 20, maybe 24 or more counties now have stood and said, we will not enforce this I-1639 or at least components of it, which are very clear violations of the Constitution. And since then, this Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, has written a threatening letter to all of these sheriffs warning them that they could be held liable if somebody goes on a shooting rampage or whatever. Anything goes wrong, they're just looking for an opportunity. Essentially, they're threatening these sheriffs. And so what we want to do is give the sheriffs, we want to embolden them and the county commissioners now that are beginning to draft and pass resolutions, telling the state they will not be participating or funding or getting involved in any way of enforcing any unconstitutional laws. Specifically, we're talking about the firearms laws that they're trying to shove through and that have already passed. So there is definitely a battle coming. And there are some tools that you can use. Scott Brumback is going to talk more about that. Scott, thank you for staying with us.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure.
Okay, now you've got, let's start off. I have a copy of one of your previous, not quite polished, memorandums laying out the case for this. We're talking about criminal activity, even violations of the law. And under the color of authority, where it looks like there will be a legal battle, and you want to share this information with your community, first of all, and then spread this out across Washington State to really build a larger front. Does that sound correct? Is that a good summary?
Yeah, to show citizens that they actually have power that maybe they're not aware of and that they can take action to petition courts to have criminal charges filed.
Well, good. This is something that jumped out at me. I thought it was really interesting. Just the definition of the assault weapons, and the ATF was even on record as stating that this redefinition of assault weapons is, quote, a politically contrived term with no real meaning. So this is more arbitrary laws being passed, but you're fighting against it. You're pushing back against it.
And yeah, you know, from a military standpoint, you know, it's a Sun Tzu kind of an analysis. You need to know your enemy, right, and kind of get into their head and what they're doing. That's what an attorney is supposed to do, especially somebody that litigates in the courtroom. And this enemy I'm very familiar with. Think about the term assault weapon. It's an offensive term, right?
Right.
So our Constitution says the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself,
yes, and the state.
Or the state. So you can see how assault is intentional term to assign to these weapons so that it is not needed for defense. You know, these
right.
things fall into place once you know your enemy. And so I just thought that was an interesting little thing to note.
It
for
is.
People.
It is. Well, because in the mind of the average person, assault is a crime. And defense is not. So just by stating just using the term assault weapon implies aggressive criminal activity that must be stopped. You know, so maybe we should start calling them defensive weapons, and the AR-15 defensive weapon. And we'll start changing things. But still, it goes back to that we're playing semantics, and one could still argue that is a politically contrived term, defensive weapon. It's a battle rifle, and every bloody American should own one, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
But
yeah, you know, our founders didn't establish the Second Amendment so we could go hunting.
That's right.
We all know that. I mean, I even see people on the right or Republicans that back away, you know, we have the right to go hunting and all that. No, this is about having a battle rifle.
Right.
Absolutely. The reason for it is to defend yourself against tyrants. You're not going to do that, you know, with, you know, substandard arms. You need to have the best. And that's what our founders intended. We should never back away from that and be ashamed. We should say, yes, this is what our founders wanted.
I agree. Okay, so you've got let's talk about these events. You've got the reason why I pushed some things back to get you on this weekend is so that we can promote an event that you're putting on this coming week, correct? Let's get the date and time and location for that.
Yeah, Tuesday night in Yakima at the Yakima Convention Center at 6:30. I will give a presentation. I went out and reserved a room large enough for 100 or more people, free coffee, you know, and I will get up there and run through this whole thing in depth. And basically my job or my goal is to inform citizens how they can fill out what's called an affidavit of complaining witness under the court rules that allows you to explain how your rights under as a result of 1639 have been deprived, impaired, affected, degraded, however you want. You know, this hurts me as a gun owner now. I'm less able to defend my home because I have to lock them up. I don't want the government to automatically have access to all my health information. You know, there's an automatic waiver of confidentiality when you purchase these so-called assault weapons now. I don't want to have to register my firearms. I don't want to see my 18 to 20-year-old not being able to purchase. You know, they can go to Afghanistan, but they can't purchase a Ruger 10/22. Are you kidding me?
According to this, they can't. You can't even transfer one to them if you got one for their birthday.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this is just absurd. And, you know, there is also the law, though, that allows us as citizens to go to your judge with this affidavit. So you swear it out and have it signed by a notary public, or the judge can sign it when you're in court. But I think the most effective way is to have people go en masse together in one action and say, can you imagine a judge has 100 or more gun owners, people who, and this is not about gun rights, really. This is about our constitutional rights.
Absolutely.
And to go to judge and say, this attorney general overstepped the bounds of his office and has impaired and deprived our rights. And we believe, along with this memo that I wrote, the reason I wrote it is so it could inform the court to kind of look at this. It's an unusual action, right? I mean, how many times does the attorney general get charged with a crime, you know?
Right.
And he should be treated just the same as any other regular Joe, right? If you break the law, you need to be held accountable and judged by a jury of your peers. And then this memo will help educate the judge and say, this is what Ferguson did. The affidavit of complaining witness that the citizen fills out will explain how they were personally offended and afflicted and impaired in terms of their rights, and fill that out and explain to the judge. And then the judge can make a decision whether there's probable cause and make the prosecuting attorney then file charges and pursue a criminal charge.
Okay, excellent. So that's the presentation you're going to be giving to walk them through exactly the process of how to do that.
Exactly.
Okay, and now where you said this is Tuesday, the 19th of February, 6:30 p.m., where?
At the Yakima Convention Center. It's right downtown. I mean, it's right off, you know, I-82. You come in Yakima Avenue right into town, and it's right there on your right-hand side as you're coming into town from I-82. Most people live in the area know where this is. It's a very nice facility, actually, and it's very presentable and a lot of parking, and it's really – I think it's only about 5 or 6, 7 years old. It's a nice new facility.
Okay. Now, Do you expect that after these affidavits of complaining witness are filed by enough citizens, that that will compel the county prosecutor to file charges against the state attorney general?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because here's what my vision is, because I'm going to be the one that files in Yakima County the petition to have the criminal complaint. What I want is to attach or append to that paperwork that I have all these affidavits of complaining witnesses. So I want to have 100 or 200 people who filled these things out, and I want to I'm going to file it down at the Yakima County District Court, and then they will set a hearing, and that's when the citizens would appear in court. So it's a process, right? So at this event that I'm going to have, I'm going to give the presentation to everybody, because my job is to inform them of what the Attorney General has done wrong. If they believe after what I've said that the Attorney General has broken the law and they want to fill out an affidavit, we're going to have notaries, notary publics right there, so we can fill out the paperwork and they can turn it in. I'll gather all those affidavits of complaining witness. I'll take it to my law firm. I'll formulate all the paperwork and I'll go file it. And then I'll let everybody know who's done that affidavit when the court hearing is, and we'll go before the court and show the court that we're serious, that our constitutional rights will not be trampled on.
Outstanding. Okay, so we got your action item. You're actually going to be filing this complaint. We have the citizens who are going, their job is to fill out as many affidavits of complaining witness as possible to accompany that complaint. What's the role of the sheriffs, the commissioners, city councils? How can they get involved?
Well, I have been traveling around the state and kind of informing people, and it's been a process to, because most people are like, what? You can really do this? And I've talked to law enforcement. I've talked to my sheriff, Bob Udell, here. He's a great guy. I presented all this. I gave him the memo. He's seen it. And I think what he's probably doing right now is conferring with his legal counsel about what they can do. Bob knows that he can file a complaint. Right. Himself, he can basically not require all the citizens to go in and petition the court. He can just do it himself. He has the statutory powers,
right?
And it's in the memo, just for it, towards the end. If I don't know if you've gotten there,
I did.
But he can go do that, and you know, it wouldn't hurt if the citizens then, you know, backed him up with all these affidavits still. I mean, it would be a good thing. Remember, these sheriffs are people, all right? And they're standing in the open field of battle right now.
Yep.
And they're looking at the Attorney General in Olympia, and they're saying, no, no more, you're not doing this.
Right.
And we've got, like you said, over 20 sheriffs doing it right now. When in state's history have you ever seen that happen?
Never.
Never.
Not in Washington.
Normalcy bias needs to go out the window, folks. You need to understand what's happening here. These are incredible times, and you don't want to miss it. These are the times where you can, you know, on your deathbed go, yeah, you know, I was there when that happened.
Yes. These are the times that try men's souls.
These are great times.
Yep. These are the times that try men's souls, right?
Yeah. This is the time to step up, you know, and take action. And if nothing else, by doing this, what I'm proposing, you're actually supporting your sheriff. So, you know, because if you're standing out in the open in the field of battle and nobody else is there with you, it gets tough. You know, it tests only the most committed, you know, courageous men would stand and not, you know, wilt, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
But a lot of people, you know, gosh, man, the pressure's too much on me. I don't know if I can keep doing this. You know, the Yakima County prosecuting attorney, Joe Brusick, only one in the state of Washington who's gotten up and questioned I-1639. He was on the radio Thursday morning, last Thursday, and he told the interviewers that his children have been threatened by these people on the left who are, you know, angry with him because he has dared question the constitutionality of 1639.
Right.
So what we need to do as citizens, we need to stand up and we need to support these brave guys and gals who've stood up And this is our way to do it. So not only can we petition the court, but through our actions, we can support these brave people who are finally, finally taking a stand
Absolutely.
Against these tyrants in Olympia.
Okay, so are you extending this invitation? This is oriented towards citizens, but are you also extending the invitation to the county commissioners, the city council members, folks like that that can come to also, would they participate on this level that the citizens are with the filling of complaints, filing?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, okay. It's funny. I think that the sheriff may be in attendance. He hasn't reached out to me. I've seen the inklings that he may be. I think they want to hear it. I know that there's going to be because I'm going to hire security for this. I'm going to hire some off-duty police officers who are friends. I remember I was a prosecutor in this town. I know a lot of the law enforcement.
Yes.
I tell you what, 9 out of 10 police officers, sheriff's deputies, they're right there with us.
Yep.
They're right there with us. State patrolmen, I have a really good retired state patrol buddy who's working with me on this thing. They're right there with us. These people love the Constitution. They took an oath to it. A lot of them are former military.
Right.
So this is about, but nobody knows how to take on the tyrants. And this is the way to do it. It's
Absolutely.
A great time. This is very exciting.
I'm excited. I'm really excited about this because this is something that's really there's merit to this. I mean, this is something that they can actually do, get involved in. It's something. Here's the thing: they can't ignore this. Once you have probable cause established, and they're confronted with a lawsuit, they must respond. They can just – it's not like a constituent's letter griping about potholes where you can just basically go to lunch. Just ignore it. And right, this – they must respond to this once it goes to that level, especially if we can get this to spread across the state, especially Liberty State. Which is another – that's a whole other topic. I mean, this has done wonders for the Liberty State movement. People are ready to break off. But are you planning
yes,
on
they
doing
are.
The same presentation in other neighboring counties or other places? Are you traveling to get
this? I already have.
Excellent.
I already have.
Okay, so how can folks –
Yes, I've been up the Republic. You know, Lauren Culp, Chief Lauren Culp, a hero.
Yes.
That little town. You know, it's always – you know – Lexington and Concord were not major metropolitan areas.
No, they weren't.
You know, it's always, it seems to me, the heart and soul is with, you know, the regular person. And Republic has great patriots there. And Lauren Culp stood up in his little town of Republic. I mean, a small place. And he said no to the Attorney General of the state of Washington.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Others started to stand up. I think without Lauren Culp, none of this would be happening. Chief Lauren Culp is a great guy. I met him. I gave a presentation to the citizens up in Ferry County. Their county prosecutor was in attendance when I gave it. And we'll see. I said, hey, I can't make you all do anything, but it's in your hand. You cannot say now that you do not know.
Exactly.
That's
it right there. You just nailed it. Now, what is the title of your presentation? If we're going to help promote this, I want to, you know, what?
Yeah, you know, and I'm terrible with it, but I created a, you know, I hate Facebook, but,
sure.
You know, you kind of got to be on it to spread the word. And I call it Washington Strikes Back 1639. And that just kind of came to me, and it's what we've been using. So Washington Strikes Back is kind of what we're doing, and it's appropriate.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So we'll make sure we'll put that in there as well so we can get that information out there. Now, other folks that are listening, we're going to spread this far and wide, especially across Washington State, because you're dealing with really a lot of Washington statutes. Not that this strategy couldn't be adopted in other states, but let's do Washington first. How can they get a hold of you to schedule and arrange to have you come to their county and give a presentation in other places?
You know, probably the best way is to get on that page, that Washington Strikes Back 1639 page on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, I'm on it every day now. That's the best way because that's the center of where the information is exchanged and people are getting their information. And so, yeah, that's the best way.
Okay. Excellent. All right.
I know not everybody has Facebook, you know, so If you can go to that event on Tuesday, but you probably know somebody on Facebook and they can get information for you if you're looking for it. But, you know, like what you were alluding to is other states have laws. I mean, we're not the only state in the union that has a law that holds, you know, public servants accountable.
That's right.
This is the, you know, I call it a yank their, you know, yank the chain law, you know, that you need to make them heal.
That's right.
And that's kind of how I look at it. He's way out of line, this guy is, and we need to yank his chain, and that's what we're doing.
Outstanding. Well, hopefully, and this has got teeth, too, so I'm excited about this. I want to see where this is going to go. It includes items that the citizens and their elected officials can actually get involved in and actually take part in. And we will definitely help spread the word. We got this event coming up. Yeah, in Yakima County, this Tuesday, February 19th, 6:30 p.m. at the Yakima Convention Center with attorney Scott Brumback to talk about this, how we can take the fight back to them and protect your rights. Right now, it's this is the closest thing to – this is right in between soapbox and ballot box. So we don't have to use the cartridge box, or at least prolong it. Right. So,
yeah, that's right. You know, actually, that's why, you know, I was down. I went down to the Bundy thing because I wanted to see firsthand what was going on. I was still in the Army. I was still in the JAG. I was working at United States Northern Command as a domestic operations attorney. And so my job there in the Army was protecting the Constitution. I wasn't going to watch this from a desk. I wasn't there on an official business. I was because I was in the reserves, I was there as a citizen.
Right.
But I wanted to see it, and I saw the abuses that were happening. And that was under the administration.
Yes.
All right? And the local police officers were on our side. They were clapping and, you know, and were standing with the citizens.
Right.
So that sentiment is there. We have the right and the good and moral side to all this.
Amen, brother. Well, hey, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for being in the fight. It's really a pleasure meeting you for the first time. I'm sure first of many other meetings and discussions to come. So keep up the good fight, and we will definitely put this out.
Thank you.
All right, Scott Brumback. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. All right, this is the fourth and final segment of The Voice of the American Redoubt tonight. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. There's enough there for like a whole show. We could just call it quits. But I want to share something with you that that I came across this week, texting back and forth with several other leaders in the Patriot community. And with Chris Ann Hall, and she sent out, we were talking about the situation going on in Washington State. That's really been our focus lately because of just how blatantly unlawful and constitutional they are and how brazen they are. Well, we have to fight back. We have to fight and fight hard. So Chris Ann, being a constitutional attorney, also, and this really goes well with the attorney Scott Brumback that we just got done listening to, talking about the strategy in Washington. And what's interesting is the same week
this was being worked on, Chris Ann Hall was working on this letter, which she's posted over at chrisannhall.com. We'll link it in the highlights and resources posting. Give us about 24 to 48 hours to get all the links loaded, you know, from the show. But if you want, you can go over to chrisannhall.com and look for the article titled in reference, you know, in in reference or in regard to the recent ratification of laws denying the right to keep and bear arms to law-abiding persons. That so she wrote a brief. It's an open letter. And it's an open letter to governors, attorneys general, the legislators of these United States, and the people, along with their sheriffs and peace officers, in reference to the recent ratification of laws denying the right to keep and bear arms to law-abiding persons. Now, there's also a link to this where you can download this and spread the word or link it to other people in your communities, your county commissioners who are considering or might need to be prompted to write a resolution for their county or for your sheriff or your city council members who want to stand firm for your rights and make a bold statement against these law grabbers. That's what we should call them. They're law grabbers. They want to grab the law away from you and unseat the rule of law and replace it with mob rule. And so in light of what Scott Brumback was just talking about, Chris Ann Hall nails it on several things. So I want to read part of this to you. I want to encourage you to read it yourself. I know a lot of you won't because you're busy or one thing after another, one reason or another why you might not be able to. So I'm going to read some of these. Both Washington State Governor Jay Inslee and Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson have issued letters regarding the state of Washington's Initiative 1639 and Washington law enforcement officials' refusal to enforce the measure in part or in total. Similar laws are being passed by legislators and signed into law by the governors of other states, sadly, with little protest. Proponents of Washington's Initiative 1639, now that was a citizens' initiative, what the people want, right? What 1.9 million people want as a law to live under, and of course affecting 1.2 million people on the other side of the state who didn't want it, that it forced upon them. So you have mob rule instead of the rule of law. Yet, that's just my comment throwing in there. I'll continue. Oh, matter of fact, here she is. The proponents of Initiative 1639 and those critical of the law enforcement officials cite a, quote, duty to the Constitution, close quote, and to the, quote, rule of law, end quote. Yet in many respects, these laws are built on the circumvention and abdication of the rule of law. The Constitution and its underlying principles define the rule of law. As such, the rule of law cannot be synonymous with the will of the majority, as the Washington AG suggests, when the majority's will advocates the suspension of due process and the revocation of a person's natural rights, which all officials involved in this debate swore an oath to uphold. These are powerful words. I hope you guys are listening to this. The Declaration of Independence lays before us the premise and the purpose of all governments, past, present, and future. It states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And so let me go through this. The sole purpose of government is to secure the rights of all people equally and individually. Number two, the origin of the legislative power. Individual rights precede legislative power. Therefore, legislative power exists solely to ensure individual rights. This is just so logical. Number three, the definition of just power. Just power of government secures the individual's rights above all other objectives. Number four, now there's a full paragraph further explaining this in the article. I'm giving you the highlights, the bulleted highlights. Number four, the definition of unjust power. Unjust power is power exercised by government to the destruction of the individual's rights. Number five, the will of the majority is contrary to the rule of law. Majority rule is synonymous with tyranny of the majority, not with security of rights. Number six, when the laws of government operate contrary to individual rights, the government is operating contrary to its sole purpose, the government is not operating with just power, and the people are not free. It becomes the duty of all who love and respect the rights of their children to protect the citizen from the unjust operation of government. Isn't this interesting? So I want to go back to majority rule is synonymous with tyranny. Number five, the subject number five, I'm going to close out with this. The will of the majority is contrary to the rule of law. The reason why I'm focusing on this is because this right here is what this attorney general is falling back on as his justification for enforcing these laws, saying this was the will of the people. What if the whole will of the people say it should be unlawful for you to own a Bible or to be a Christian or to attend church? The government's job, their role, their duty is to step in and intercede for you and protect your right. I don't care if there's only one person left in the United States that wants to own a firearm. They have a duty to defend your right, not to establish your right. Those rights already been established by God, but they have a duty to protect and defend your God-given right. Just like if there was only one person left in America that still chose to be a Christian, let's say you were Noah, you were Lot and your family, and everybody else wanted to turn against God, and you still wanted to follow God, and they passed a law saying you can't. The government has a duty to protect you regardless of what the mob wants. Especially in the United States, it was the brilliance of the Founding Fathers to put pen to paper and codify these things. Okay, so let me read this paragraph to you covering this. Point number five that Chris Ann Hall wrote, the will of the majority is contrary to the rule of law. The rule of law is a term that has been understood throughout history to mean a standard to limit the overreach of government and curb lawlessness. It does not mean the authority of the government to rule over the people. The independent states of America and their central government were created with written constitutions to maintain a written limited standard for government to prevent the will of the majority and those who govern to usurp the rights of the individual. The so-called will of the majority cannot be synonymous with the rule of law. If that be the case, then those who are disposed to usurp the rights of the people need only to control the will of the majority, which is exactly what they're doing, which is exactly why they keep calling America a democracy. They're trying to imprint that. They're trying to inculcate that into your mind so that you will accept that America is a democracy, which means the majority, whatever the majority wants, which means you no longer have the rule of law. You have the rule of the mob. Either through manipulations, coercions, fear, or brute force. It is because of this truth, of the tyranny of the majority, that every government in these United States is required to exist as a republic, not a pure democracy. Of course, the federal government guarantees every state exists as a republic. That every law to be created through the equal representation and is to be governed by and limited to the ultimate purpose of all government, the security of the rights of the individual through written constitutions. When any form of government operates contrary to these foundations, that government has exceeded its proper function, acting in direct opposition to its own purpose. The law has been used to destroy its own objective. It has been applied to annihilating the justice that it was supposed to maintain, to limiting and destroying rights, which its real purpose was to respect and, I would add, protect. It has converted lawful defense of life, liberty, and property into a crime in order to punish lawful defense of these essential and natural rights. So well written. I want you guys to read this yourself. That's your assignment for this week, is to read this piece. The recent ratification of laws denying the right to keep and bear arms to law-abiding persons at chrisannhall.com. If you are in Central Washington, specifically if you are in Yakima County, then your assignment is to attend the event this Tuesday night and get engaged. And if you live in Washington but outside of Yakima County, your assignment this week is to, after reading this document I just referred to, but chrisannhall.com, your assignment is to contact the attorney, Brumback, and schedule an appointment and start facilitating a meeting where he can come to your town, your county, soon, and get as many citizens there as possible to continue this process in your county, especially if you live in Liberty State. Because this is really going to bring to light, it's going to highlight and shine light on the subject of the tyranny that's coming forward. And this will not stop the leftists. This could throw a spoke in their wheels. This could slow them down. This might disrupt. You could even hope for the prosecution of this attorney general because of the probable cause that's been presented that he's committed multiple crimes. But that's not going to stop the leftist agenda. That's not going to fix Washington. There is no fixing Washington State. It's just Oregon. You're in the same situation. You have no alternative now but to draw a line right down the crest of the Cascades and declare your own state and go through the legal, lawful, constitutional process of forming your own state and breaking away. You're not dividing anything. They're going to accuse you of dividing. You're not dividing. They have divided you. They're the ones that decided to start changing the rules of the game, and you don't want to play their game. They're the ones that are causing the division, not you. You're just saying we can no longer be part of you if you're going to insist on this set of standards for living, these set of so-called values, to depart from your morals, to abandon your heritage, and everything that is Americanism. You have a duty to break free from that kind of a tyranny. Your children and your grandchildren are counting on what you're going to do with this today. You're going to sit back, you're going to watch another NBA game. Are you going to go do something to entertain yourself and let somebody else handle this? You have, for your posterity's sake, if nothing else, if that's important to you, and I hope it is, you need to take action of some form or another. And it starts with educating yourselves. And I think we've given you enough resources tonight to do that. So hopefully you're continuing on with the other stuff that we talked about, reading the founding documents, your state constitution, the U.S. Constitution, which was last month's assignment. This month, hopefully you're making your way through the Federalist Papers. And if you have time, the Anti-Federalist Papers. But now you've got another reading assignment, this open letter at chrisannhall.com. All right, that's all I got, guys. You have a blessed week. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your support, for your letters of encouragement, and for the news stories and articles and links and things like that you guys send is really helpful for my situational awareness. It's hard to sort through it all. There's a lot. So I try to share what I think is relevant at the time. And thank you guys for being out there. And thank you for helping to strengthen the American redoubt. And for those of you, I join you in praying for discernment, for deciding if that's the right move for you. But if it is, and you've prayerfully considered moving yourself and or your business to the American Redoubt, we'll welcome you with open arms. All right, until we meet next weekend, you guys have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.